Let's go to our wrap of world news now, courtesy of the BBC, CNN and Radio Australia. And we'll go first to Syria this morning, where the Red Cross has finally been given access to the devastated district of Baba Amma in the city of Homs. The aid organisation had been waiting for permission to enter the area since last week. The UN's humanitarian chief, Valerie Amos, has also now been allowed to visit the ravaged area. People fleeing Homs have been accusing the security forces of committing atrocities, including summary executions and the slaughter of men and boys. The BBC's Paul Wood went to the outskirts of Homs. He was among the first journalists to reveal the accounts of these eyewitnesses, with his graphic and exclusive reports aired earlier this week. He's just left Syria and he joins you now from Beirut. Paul, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
Paul, you've been in and around the city of Homs for a while and you've been speaking to the people who've been fleeing. What have they been telling you?
We first noticed that there were groups of women and children with no men in them, and we asked where the men were, and we were told on several different occasions that at government checkpoints the men had been separated from the women and children and led off, sometimes hooded and handcuffed. We asked, well, what do you think has happened to the men? And everybody said, with one voice, we think they're being killed. We heard a lot of this. It wasn't clear whether this was people's anxieties talking or if it was something more substantial. And we found one family who gave what to me was a very credible eyewitness account of 36 men and boys being taken away and killed in the street, including four members of their own family. The father was talking about his 12-year-old son being held down with a soldier's boot in his back and watching a paramilitary cut his throat. I mean, these sound like wild propaganda stories, but having sat down for 2 or 3 hours with a particular family, they did seem credible. Obviously, we don't know the scale of this happening, whether it's a few dozen or a few hundred. And, of course, the Syrian government will either deny it's happening at all, or in the case of state television, which did show the bodies of 18 people, a whole family who'd been killed, they said, well, this is the work of the armed terrorists that we, the Syrian government, went into Baba Amma in the first place to stop.
And I'll get to the verification or not of this in a second, but they're just reading through and looking at your reports on the television. I saw them this week and heard them on the radio and reading through wire reports too. There seems to be a bit of a pattern to some of these accounts you're being told, suggestions of, or the picture is soldiers coming to the door and pulling out the young men and the boys and the old men and separating them immediately. So that's a story you heard many times, that pattern.
Yes, certainly. There is supposedly, this is what activists say, a list of 1,500 men who are wanted. That may be the case. It may be that there's a systematic attempt to arrest people who are on wanted lists. There seem to be several forces involved in this. The army and the police and a paramilitary force called the Shabiha, or the Ghosts. And they are often recruited from villages around Homs, from the Alawite sect. That's the group which largely rules Syria. And the claim by the refugees, the displaced people, is that it's the Shabiha who are carrying out a lot of the atrocities. And along with it is claimed Iranian help of some description. People claim to have heard Farsi being spoken. So, there are a lot of claims which you simply can't verify. What we can say is that men are missing in reasonably large numbers, and nobody can say what has happened to those men.
You also quote a former army sergeant that you ran into who had defected. Tell us about his testament.
Well, there are a couple of sergeants from the Republican Guards, and we looked at their army IDs, and in fact one of them had a leave form stamped very recently with a Republican Guard stamp. They had defected only last week, which is significant because it meant they'd taken part in the Baba Amma operation. They were part of an artillery unit, Battalion 104. One of the sergeants told me that he was in charge of a mortar team firing 120mm mortars at Baba Amma. He said they were given coordinates from helicopters and drones, which were supposedly military targets, but they were also told if there's no military target, just fire in the general direction of Baba Amma. The important thing is not to stop firing. And he said an order was given to him very clearly by an officer that he was not to distinguish between civilians or military targets. His friend said that who, by the way, was an Alawite, and the first Alawite in the rebel fighters I'd met. His friend said he decided to defect after he saw a summary execution. He said that an old man was brought in, was beaten, made to kneel on the ground, and then had a gun put to his head, and somebody pulled the trigger, and the man was dead. And that's when this particular soldier said he decided to defect.
So, Paul, just to clarify, because I know that you were reporting from within Homs a few weeks ago, but you weren't at Baba Ama. You did not yourself witness any of these summary execution.
We were in Baba Ama at the beginning of February during the artillery attacks, and we only stayed for 3 days because, frankly, it was too dangerous to remain for much longer. So we are relying entirely for these accounts of what's happened after the ground operation began on the accounts of people fleeing from Baba Ama. You know, it's very difficult when you don't see bodies, you don't see video, you don't have proof. I always entered these interviews quite sceptical, not wanting to believe it. A lot of people would say these things, and you think, well, did you actually see it yourself? Is this the fear talking? Is this hysteria? So we were quite careful in only using what we broadcast. People like the Ibrahim family, who said that they witnessed it. We spoke to several members of the family whose accounts were consistent. I think it's going to take a little while for the truth of this to emerge. But what we can say are there are credible and consistent accounts from refugees in a very detailed fashion, which raise some disturbing questions about what exactly is going on there.
And Paul, where are these refugees, as you describe them? Where are they now, the Ibrahim family and the others who've fled Homs?
There isn't a big tented city. Activists think that 4,000 or 5,000 people fled. And from what I could see, they were not hanging around. They were going off to Lebanon, further into Syria to stay with relatives. Some of them were staying in the villages around Homs, but it isn't as if you're going to see a huddled mass of several thousand people out in the cold. People have family and they have dispersed. And the Ibrahim family in particular had gone to a neighbour's house and were kind of living, about 15 of them, in one room. So I know that Baroness Amos, the UN humanitarian chief, is visiting the area at the moment. I don't think you're going to see a classic humanitarian appeal for tents and for flour and that kind of thing. The suffering is there, but it's more hidden.
The things you describe, the witnesses have told you that bombardment, the slaughters, the untargeted bombardment, doesn't matter if you hit the civilians or not. I mean, if they were proven to be true, they would be war crimes. Is it your understanding that someone like the UN humanitarian chief, Valerie Amos, who's now holding talks with the Syrian officials finally, and I think there's a sense she is going to be allowed into Homs or maybe in Baba Ama already, that she is looking for evidence of these accounts? Has she spoken to you about the accounts you've heard?
I mean, no. We were in the business of sneaking into Syria illegally and covertly and going to Homs, not going to Damascus, where you meet visiting diplomats and officials like Baroness Amos. She's the humanitarian chief, and it's her business to look at, you know, whether people are hungry, whether they need to be sheltered. There is another UN body which is concerned with human rights, and it has said that there should be war crimes prosecutions already. Syria has not signed the treaty which brought the International Criminal Court into being, which is an obstacle, but not an insuperable one. I think the General Assembly of the UN can vote and instigate war crimes prosecutions if the authority, which is the Syrian government, is not taking those steps itself. I think, given what we've heard from the Syrian government, you know, it said it wasn't attacking Baba Ama at all for a long time, I think it's very, very unlikely. So there are international moves to look at the issue of war crimes prosecutions. I don't think there'll be much traction for that issue in Damascus with visiting diplomats. That's something which will happen in The Hague with the Syrian opposition, and presumably by talking to people like those I spoke to, who managed to get out of Homs and perhaps out of the country and can be spoken to in places like Lebanon.
Paul Wood, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
The BBC's Paul Wood joining us there from Beirut. He's just left Homs, where he's run into many, many people fleeing the city of Homs and the Baba Ama district in particular after the 3 or 4 week bombardment, and people coming out with frightening accounts that they say they witnessed of men and boys being taken away and massacred. It's 18 past 6 on Breakfast.